neurologist, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
The WWE is 1 week away from Survivor Series and is more confusing than ever. MJF and Y2J make Looney Tunes into a delightful promo, and we all got CM Punk'd. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event here on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew, and it's another busy week in the world of pro wrestling. Busy to the point of confusion, at least for this guy. But I'm going to do my best in the next 2 hours to straighten things out for you, the listener. It's a solo show this week, which means a myriad of guests will be joining me, including Dave Meltzer with the Wrestling Observer Insider, the return of the Triple Threat segment featuring 411 Wrestling's Larry Zonka, and former WWE official turned Aftermath host Jimmy Corderas. Our second hour will feature a Survivor Series flavored turnbuckle trivia contest, as well as a rematch of our Fatal Filipino Fight, as Joe Aguinaldo takes on Mark Andrade in our six-pack challenge, which is essentially our way of previewing WWE's Survivor Series card. Except in our case, we know they're playing for the six-pack championship, which, come to think of it, has more stakes than anything on Survivor Series. First things first, I'm going to do my best to get you all caught up in the week of wrestling news. Taking a break, and then we're back with the best way to end your weekend, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
All right, let's get you updated on what happened this week in the world of wrestling. I mean, I could say it's a busy week, but I say that each and every week here on the show because it is. As a wrestling fan, as someone who covers this, it's very difficult to cover everything because there's so much going on. And honestly, there's other things in life. So if you miss some stuff, I'm going to try to get you updated on everything that's going on. And you surely did not miss this on your Tuesday night / Wednesday morning, and that is the return of CM Punk. I mean, it's the biggest story of the week. Punk is back with the WWE. Sort of. After a 5-year absence from WWE programming, Punk returned to the WWE Backstage program on FS1 on Tuesday night. Renee Young introduced Punk at the end of the show. He entered to his regular Cult of Personality theme, made his way down to the ring, and then promptly stepped out of his light to address the camera by modifying the classic Roddy Piper quote of "just when you think you've got the answers, I change the questions," swapping out the word "questions" for "culture." In a press release, it was noted that Punk would be joining WWE Backstage as a special contributor and analyst. He'll be making select appearances in the studio with regular hosts Renee Young and Booker T. And if being linked back to WWE by a third party, such as WWE 2K, for instance, is any indication, the time is ticking on when we're actually going to see CM Punk return to a WWE ring. Now, that is pure speculation on my part, but it seems to be the way things have gone. And I'm sure the person that's happiest about all of this is Dr. Chris Amon. Must be very excited for the return of the man that belittled him and berated him on social media and podcasts over and over again. And now he's back in the company. I'll talk more about this in the next segment and give you my thoughts on CM Punk and his return to WWE. Now, it also seems the company has started using WWE Backstage as a way of breaking news, this week announcing that both Miz and Paige have re-signed with the company with multi-year deals. In another piece of ongoing WWE controversy, the racist t-shirt situation has escalated as Jordan Miles, a.k.a. the former ACH, a.k.a. real name Albert Hardy Jr., has taken to social media once again with this video rant via his Twitter.
As of today, I'd like to officially announce that I quit WWE. I am no longer employee. I refuse to work for racists. I quit them. I hate that company and everything they stand for. All they did was ever hold off people back. I do this for the culture. I don't need anyone's permission to do what I want to do. Screw Jordan Miles. Don't ever call me by that slave name. Call me ACH and don't forget the super, bitch. I quit. You.
Come on, man. You know how much I had to edit that? Tone it down. At this point, WWE has yet to make any comment about this, and I kind of find it sad. I think Jordan Miles has some mental health problems and should seek help. I'll bring this up with Dave Meltzer later in the show to see if there's any contractual situation change here, but most likely not. Getting into contracts, though, there is someone else that was a little more refined in his unhappiness. The current man under the Sin Cara mask, George Arias, tweeted a statement in Spanish that said after praying Sunday night and thinking about his children, he had to make the most difficult but sensible decision to ask for his WWE release. Much like Luke Harper and Mike Kanellis before him, his release has yet to be granted. All that WWE stated after he said this was that he would be remaining on the European tour for SmackDown. Keeping with WWE, there's a TakeOver and a Survivor Series next weekend, followed by Starrcade on December 1st, and this week matches were also released for TLC in December. That enough for you? It's too much. I'm going to try to break it all down, because if you're like me, you're finding it very difficult to keep track of. First of all, 1 week away from today, we will be live doing a post-show for Survivor Series, and here is the card. Let's start with the championship matches because we actually have something on the line with those. And for the Universal Championship, that is going to be Bray Wyatt with his new blue belt versus Daniel Bryan. Are they going to change the glow? You think the glow is going to be blue now because he's got a blue belt? Along with that, Brock Lesnar versus Rey Mysterio, that's for the WWE Championship. So those are set in place. Now, there is the Brand Supremacy Triple Threat matches that include the champions. On the women's side of things, Becky for Raw, Bayley for SmackDown, Shayna for NXT. Cool. For the tag teams, the Raiders for Raw, New Day for SmackDown, and Undisputed Era for NXT. They face off. And then the midway titles, or the middle of the card titles, which means Styles, who's the US champion, Nakamura, the Intercontinental champion, and Roderick Strong, the North American champion. Those guys face off. That should be a dynamite match. Along with that, there are two other matches on this card, which are going to be the traditional 5-on-5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination matches. I guess that's not traditional. So, for the women's side of things, Team Raw has no members announced as of me recording this on Sunday. Team SmackDown has Sasha, Carmella, Dana, and Lacey Evans. Still waiting for one member. And Team NXT, those women are just busy fighting each other in war games. So there's no one announced there. Now, looking over to the 5-on-5-on-5 men's matches, Team Raw has Rollins, McIntyre, Owens, Randy Orton, and Ricochet. Team SmackDown has Reigns, Mustafa Ali, Braun Strowman, King Corbin, and Shorty G. Cool. Those are established. Team NXT, who knows? Who knows what's happening? We're a week out from this pay-per-view, and who knows what's happening? But this is part of the problem. The NXT stars are all wrapped up building up War Games. So are we going to have to find out what the results of War Games are before we know who's competing the next night? And if that is the case, then, well, maybe that's something we should be told. Because right now, this NXT invasion is lackluster because these guys don't even know who's repping NXT in these matches. Honestly, should Undisputed Era not be a four-person team? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be great? But they're all wrapped up in the other matches. Undisputed Era is, they're the gold. So they can't be in these matches. It's also just going to be very weird if, it already is weird on the other two brands where babyfaces and heels are all on the same team. Okay, so that's a very confusing Survivor Series. TakeOver is less confusing, but there's two War Games matches on TakeOver. I think this is going to be the worst TakeOver in the history of TakeOvers, if that's not too grand a statement, because I just don't see a place in 2019 for two War Games matches on the exact same card. Here is what we've got so far as War Games goes. Now, there is one individual match on War Games that's announced right now, and we saw the build-up this week, and that's Matt Riddle versus Finn Balor. They're in a singles match. Along with that, that pulls Matt Riddle out of the War Games men's match, and right now we have the Undisputed Era, who are a united team on War Games. That's Cole, Fish, O'Reilly, and Strong. They're taking on Ciampa, Lee, Dijakovic, and then one person to still be named. If Velveteen Dream can come back, that is obviously the proper place to put him. on the women's side of things, this is why the chaos has ensued for the main roster in Survivor Series, because the women are all facing off against one another. Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, Tegan Nox, and Mia Yim versus Shayna Baszler, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, and Kaylee Ray. So there you have it. And then I guess five of those women have got to compete on Sunday night on the main roster in that match after they get completely beaten up in their War Games match. Now, on top of that, the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, advertised a few days ago that the following matches are going to take place at TLC. Yeah, they blew this here. Roman Reigns versus King Corbin in a tables, ladders, and chairs match, but that is disputed right now after all the dog stuff we saw on Friday night. The WWE Women's Tag Team Championships will be defended. That's Asuka and Kairi Sane defending against Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. That's also in a TLC match. That's an interesting one, but didn't Flair and Lynch lose on Monday? Okay, I'm sure they'll fix it. Or not, and then they'll just do it. And finally, Rusev versus Bobby Lashley, and I guess Lana's going to be there. Oh yeah, and don't forget, WWE will also be offering up a WWE Network special called Starrcade. That's Sunday, December the 1st. It's a one-hour special that was supposed to be main evented by Bray Wyatt versus Miz in a steel cage match, but a promo aired on Friday night on a local affiliate for SmackDown that had Braun Strowman taking Miz's place in this match to take on Wyatt. So there you have it. On top of the weekly TV and hours that they are doing, those are four more cards that WWE will be offering up in the next couple months, starting next weekend. We're going to be live giving you the rundown on all of it that we can cover. Lavransky will be here with me. In Wednesday Night War news, after a week in which NXT came its closest to beating AEW since the beginning of the Wednesday Night Wars, AEW Dynamite ratings were up 16% from last week, averaging 957,000 viewers. That's, of course, getting the bump from the pay-per-view. Now, NXT on USA Network was down 8%, total viewers averaging 750,000 viewers. In my opinion, still not bad. SmackDown rating dropped this week to the lowest on Fox when they've been on the main network, so not counting that FS1 week. The show averaged 2.35 million viewers, and there you have it. That is what is going on ratings-wise. And as you make your choice on Wednesday night, here is what's happening this Wednesday on AEW. A few interesting matches, including Jon Moxley taking on Darby Allin, because Darby Allin answered the challenge from Moxley on TV. Private Party is going to take on Santana and Ortiz. Nick Jackson will face Phoenix in a singles match, and there's also something called a Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal. 12 men begin, and the two finalists of the match will face off on November 27th in Chicago, and the winner will be receiving a diamond ring. No idea why or what that is about, but it's happening this week. I'm going to guess they have a plan, because AEW seems to book well so far. Few items in brief here. John Cena talked to Sports Illustrated and was asked about a possible appearance at WrestleMania 36. He said, "I haven't missed a WrestleMania since my first appearance at WrestleMania 19, and I do not plan to miss a WrestleMania for decades to come." So take that into account for this March or April. It was also announced via Variety that the first episode of Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Broken Skull Sessions, will premiere on the WWE Network after Survivor Series. It's going to be a monthly interview series, and the first one will be with The Undertaker. At the NXT UK tapings in Hull, they announced that NXT UK TakeOver is going to be happening again. It'll be in Blackpool, England. No date has been announced, but it looks like it will be January. In our name change story of the week, Ali is now Mustafa Ali again. A few months ago, they got rid of his first name. It's back. It's dumb. It's WWE. The IPW UK promotion, which dates back to 2004, announced it would be closing its doors at the end of the year. This is the latest casualty of the declining UK scene, because a whole bunch of independent promoters are having a tough time due to the changing landscape and talent not being available for their promotions. Speaking of that talent that used to be available, one of those people would be Walter. And he's going to be in action at Evolve 141 in Michigan and Evolve 142 in Illinois. That's happening December 6th and December 7th. He's going to face Timothy Thatcher on the first show, and then he'll be facing Evolve champion Josh Briggs in a non-title match on that second show I just mentioned. MLW, that's Major League Wrestling, announced Friday that current world champion Jacob Fatu has signed a multi-year deal to remain with the company. Now, terms were not disclosed, but the press release said it would be for the next several years. Fatu is part of the Samoan wrestling family, as his father is Sam Fatu. That's the former Tonga Kid in WWE. He was trained by his uncle Rikishi, and his cousins are the Usos. Personally, kind of surprised that he is locked in with the deal. But, you know, MJF works MLW and AEW, so I'm wondering how exclusive this deal actually is. That wraps up the news for this week, but remember, as we get into Survivor Series weekend, that means it's also Survivor Strikes weekend. Kick off the weekend on Friday night at 11 p.m. at Comedy Bar here in Toronto. It's 945 Bloor Street West. If you're anywhere in the GTA or surrounding area, it is worth the drive in. We kick off the show at 11 p.m., and the show is best described as where Whose Line Is It Anyway meets Fear Factor meets WWE Survivor Series. And we've got a great card planned, dare I call it a card, a great show planned, where our reigning and defending champion Andrew Fung will be leading a team against RJ City and his team. Andrew Fung, of course, you might know from Kim's Convenience on CBC and Netflix. And RJ City, you might know from his fame of beating up David Arquette and hanging out with Dalton Castle, and being in his underwear on Sunday mornings if you follow him on social media as he drinks coffee. So those guys will be performing, and a bunch of your favorites from the show. Come on down. Tickets are already on sale. They are $20 each, and you can find them at SundayNightsMainEvent.com back on Friday night, 11 p.m. at Comedy Bar. When we come back on this show after a quick break, it is going to be time to talk CM Punk and my thoughts on his return. Is it a return? I think it is, and I think it's unfortunate. I'll give you more on that next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event right here on TSN Radio.
It is your Wrestle Strikes champion, Andrew Fung. And Jason Agnew has asked me to cut a promo calling out RJ City. And yet, I barely remember him. The truth is, RJ City is filler. He's not the main event. He's not even the opener. He's the pre-show. And somehow, the pre-show thinks that his team of nobodies is going to challenge my team of champions. Well, RJ City, welcome to the Fung Disputed Era. And at Survivor Strikes on November 22nd, you will take on the greatest thing to happen to improvised comedy since the audience suggestion. Bow down to the Fung Disputed Era.
Survivor Strikes, Friday, November 22nd, 11 p.m. at Comedy Bar. Get your tickets now at SundayNightsMainEvent.com.
But Vince McMahon's going to make money despite himself. He's a millionaire who should be a billionaire. You know why he's not a billionaire? It's because he surrounds himself with glad-handing, nonsensical, douchebag yes-men like John Laurinaitis, who's going to tell him everything that he wants to hear. And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cult of personality.
Remember that? Remember the pipe bomb promo? The thing that really elevated CM Punk to be a bit of a hero to fans out there. He was breaking down that fourth wall, with permission, and it really seemed like, at that time, he was on side with all the fans. Well, Tuesday night, we saw the return of CM Punk to a WWE broadcast. And you can say it's Fox all you want, but we all know what happens when a performer that has previously had issues with WWE finds their way back via another company that is being used as a middleman. WWE 2K, Warrior, Goldberg, and Sting, all prime examples of this, all of which ended up back in the WWE good books. And undoubtedly, so will CM Punk. So that leads me to question, why this one? This one in particular rubs me the wrong way so badly. In a business where the slogan is never say never, why did this one surprise me to the degree of a full-out disappointment. Jesse Ventura sued the WWE over videotape residuals. He also got involved in a conflict about labor unions. He found his way back. Bret Hart got screwed at Survivor Series 97. His brother Owen dies on the WWE's watch in 1999. And Bret still returns to the company for the Hall of Fame in 2005 and had a match. And now everything seems to be fine. Shockingly, maybe it's because time has passed, but those don't bother me. But for some reason, Punk was different. At least I thought Punk was different. He was an individual that I always thought was so headstrong and stubborn that he couldn't be persuaded by a big check. After all, that's punk rock mentality, right? To be counterculture? Counterculture, of course, meaning a way of life and a set of attitudes opposed to or at variance with the prevailing social norm. And in wrestling, the prevailing social norm is Vince gets his way. And everyone ends up back in the WWE at one point or another. So if that's the culture of the industry, then Punk would do the opposite, right? And for those of you that are sitting there saying, well, Jay, it's Fox TV and not WWE. Come on. If you think that Vince and friends didn't agree to Punk being used on this show, then you're living in a fantasy world. Think about it. Even if the story is true of Punk's people approaching Fox for this, why would WWE ever say no? Not only is Punk a notable name with WWE fans and is a very good analyst that has a wrestling background, has done MMA commentary, and has flipped over to the geek culture working on Talking Dead, but most importantly, by aligning him with a WWE brand, that prevents the one thing that Vince McMahon and friends is really afraid of. Punk signing with AEW. It effectively puts the hottest free agent in wrestling on ice and actually opens the door for WWE to gently convince Punk to ease his way back into the ring on their television. So from the WWE side, this totally makes sense. And for Punk? Well, I thought he was counterculture, but I was wrong. You see, I got caught up thinking Punk was standing up for all wrestlers that were tired of the WWE travel schedule, that were tired of reading bad scripts, that were tired of the WWE not using them to their full potential. But he wasn't standing up for them. He was standing up for himself. Here's a guy who utilized his best friend's podcast to make a stink and then turned his back on that friend. So he doesn't care about his friends. He doesn't care about his coworkers. He surely does not care about his fans. He cares about one person and one person only. Phil CM Punk Brooks. CM Punk is not punk rock. He's not counterculture. He's a selfish jerk. And honestly, I'm not interested in seeing him back in the WWE ring. At all. Break and back with two individuals that are not selfish jerks, Jimmy Corderas and Larry Zonka, next in the Triple Threat right here on Sunday night's main event.
Reality's just black and white. The sentimental things that are right never meant that much to me.
I'm here at Great Lakes Brewery in Etobicoke, Ontario, Canada, among the bubbly excitement of hearing the transmission of the first ever experience of Thrust and IPA.
Blackie, can is open.
Initiating proper can tipping into vessel. Immediate observation, this beer's appearance is absolutely breathtaking.
Noted. Continue.
Also noting a penetrating aroma of grapefruit, mango, grape, stone fruit, and lychee.
Continue, Lackey.
Huh. I pounded back a gulp successfully. It did elicit a poking and prodding of tropical fruit and resin on my taste buds.
All right.
It appears my palate is succumbing to the perforation of Thrust and IPA. All right, I gotta go. Over.
Well, there you have it, folks. Thrust and IPA. A New England IPA brought to you by the spacey intergalactic folks at Great Lakes Brewery. Drink it fresh, please.
Is the Triple Threat.
There's gonna be a Triple Threat.
Triple Threat.
Triple Threat match.
On Sunday night's main event.
Triple Threat time here on Sunday night's main event. It is rare that we get to do this now, but I have two of my favorites on today because I'm hosting the show on my own. And with that, we go to a man that I still read each and every week, even though he's not on the show. He writes for 411 Wrestling. Larry Zonka, how are you, pal?
Fantastic. How are you, man?
Good, good. Nice to have you back. And you'll be joined this week by a former WWE referee. Now you see him each and every week on Aftermath, Jimmy Corderas. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm doing fantastic. It's how appropriate. Survivor Series coming up. We're doing a triple threat. I know.
Yeah, you know what? That's a very appropriate fact. We can start there if you like. I was going to go a different direction, but that is a crazy thing to think about. And we talked about it last week on the show. And that is this year's Survivor Series, there's a lot of triple threats. And I mean, Jimmy, looking at it from your perspective, being someone who used to be in the ring with this, triple threats are a lot harder to choreograph than one-on-ones, correct? Like, how do you think this is going to work out with all of these triple threats being on the same card?
To me, it's going to be very challenging because, like you said, there's several triple threats, and the challenge is going to be getting everybody, you know, a so-called spot to shine a little bit, trying to get everybody over, but at the same time, trying to make each triple threat unique and different from the other. The only one that is, I guess, in a sense, easier is the tag team one, I guess. You know, other than that, it's just... I love theme pay-per-views where, let's say, you know, like Hell in a Cell, where you have one or maybe two cell matches, but there's a lot of triple threats on this, and it's going to be challenging.
There's a lot of triple threats. There's also a lot of elimination matches. So really, mm-hmm. you're just, you know, you have a couple championship matches sprinkled in, but Larry, as someone who watches so much wrestling every week, because, I mean, I think I watch a lot, but you watch a crazy amount with all the reports that you do. This is different to a degree for Survivor Series because there's all these triple threats. But personally, I'm looking at it thinking after I get two in, maybe I'm going to be bored unless they find a way to make them different.
Yeah, you have to be really careful. The one thing you really have to be careful about is the lame triple threat formula, especially in like you have Styles, Roderick Strong, and Nakamura, to where you do the lazy thing where it's like two guys in and one guy always taking a nap on the floor.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that becomes so tedious, especially when you have like really talented people involved. As Jimmy said, the tag, the three tag team matches, the three tag team match will be easier because tag matches can allow for a little more chaos, and that should be easier. But then you have the two big elimination triple threats. And as you said, I think it will feel a little tiresome, and that's the risk you run when you do a card like this. It's interesting. You're bringing in new people. It's going to feel fresh to a degree, but it can also tire out the audience, which is the same risk they're actually running at TakeOver by doing two War Games matches, which are going to go 30 to 40 minutes each.
Well, look at everything that you said right there, Larry. I mean, you mentioned the word fresh, and I agree. You're seeing some new talent combined into Raw and SmackDown due to NXT and the influx there, because swapping Raw and SmackDown talent back and forth doesn't mean anything. This is new, this is fresh, but also this is confusing to me. And I mean, I'm just having trouble keeping track of what's going on for War Games versus Survivor Series. You're doing completely different angles for both, but they're happening at the exact same time. And now this week, WWE released a card for TLC. Plus, along with that, Starrcade is coming out as well. So you're spinning off Braun Strowman to Bray Wyatt. And there's so much, there's too much. Jimmy, in absorbing this, do you think it's too much for... I mean, when we follow it, if it's too much, the average fan is overwhelmed.
I think it is a little bit too much, and I don't like the idea of advertising too far ahead what you're going to do on your next pay-per-view, and as you said, Starrcade. Mind you, the Starrcade event, I will say it's an hour on the network, so we don't know which matches... Are we going to get that cage match that's advertised? I don't know. But it is difficult, and I think that's the biggest reason why we see numbers down across the board is just the vast numbers, amount of wrestling you see on television every week. It's just too much for the average fan to take in. Now, the diehard guy's going to tune in to everything every week and complain or whatever, but, you know, for the audience you're trying to attract, it's just too much, and there's just so much other stuff that people are into now.
I mean, Larry, you're watching everything, and when they add something like Starrcade in as a special on the network, which probably won't really have any ramifications canon-wise coming out of it, do you just roll your eyes, or is there anything that they can do to actually make you look forward to that?
No, I just kind of roll my eyes about it because, number one, it's nothing special. They never are. It's kind of like, we're going to give you something that we think is special but is really not special. And it's a card. We're going to see matches we're probably going to see 50 times. I'm not all that interested in it. I'd actually honestly be more fascinated if they would actually like, they used to always, you know, record house shows back in the day.
Right.
And they used to air on the various, like, Boston and New York TV and LA networks and stuff like that. I'd actually be more interested in just a very minimalist shot house show to where you could give, like, your C announcers some time to shine, like your Dio Madden, who's still coming along, the new dude from NXT that debuted on 205 Live, like Juan Call, I don't know his name, I'm not trying to be rude, but he debuted on 205 Live. Give people like that a little bit of chance. Give Beth Phoenix some more reps. And then, like, when you do something like they did in the UK to where Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins won a title shot, well, that's actually semi-important then if that's, like, the headliner on your recorded house show. Just do something a little different. Plus, you can feature a lot of people that aren't on TV all the time and just make it feel different than the TV product.
That's actually...
Starcade special, not to cut you off, it's just, like, it's not Starcade. It has nothing to do with Starcade. They're not even, like, playing off of the legacy thing other than calling it Starcade. And so it's like, it doesn't feel special.
Yeah, I was, well, sorry to interrupt there, but what I was going to say is reinforce your point of they do these specials, but they're no different than the regular TV. It's the same guys on top. There would maybe be a little bit of interest if you did something different with some up-and-comers. I mean, you're not trying to draw ratings there, so why not give someone else a chance? In the massive amount of TV that we watch each and every week, let's rewind here and start back on Monday. Of course, Raw was over in the UK on Monday. And the invasion continued, but it was done with NXT UK talent, and it was Walter and Imperium. Seth versus Walter. This kind of had people divided. Interesting to see, but personally, I didn't care for the result. What did you think of this challenge happening and Walter showing up on Raw, Jimmy?
I like the fact that Walter showed up on Raw, and I like that the fact that they put him up against basically the guy they're pushing as their top guy on Raw. I think Walter has so much upside potential, especially he looks different from everybody else.
Yeah.
He looks like a monster. He comes off really well. I have issues lately, not just with WWE, with a lot of wrestling on television lately with how finishes are coming off and that, so forth. And I just didn't like the outcome of that one. It wouldn't have hurt Seth Rollins to give a little more. And I know it's not him. I know it's the company. But if you want to really get Walter over, that was the biggest platform to do it on. You know, and whether it was outside interference that caused the match, I would have liked to have seen actually Walter go over there.
Walter is, you know, a monster and did not look like a monster on Monday night. I agree with you there. And along with that, Imperium, that is a faction, loses in a 4-on-4 match. I mean, I took issue with both of those things, Larry.
Completely agreed on with everything you guys said. Walter is, I love Walter. The guy is awesome. The best part is he looks like a 1920s wrestling photo brought to real life in 2019. Like one of those mean guy photos where he's posing with his hands like he's going to rip your face off. And just, he's so great. I love everything the guy does. He's fantastic. Had one of the best matches this year with Tyler Bate at the TakeOver special in Cardiff. I was disappointed because, like, I was happy he was there, and then I saw he was facing Seth Rollins, and Rollins hasn't really done a lot for me lately, and I would have been fine with 15 minutes of Walter just chopping Seth's chest off and just pummeling him and winning. Would have been great because, I'm sorry, Seth Rollins isn't really doing much for anybody right now, getting a mixed reaction at best. His matches have lacked for me as of late, and for a guy that's supposed to be a top guy, he doesn't draw good quarter hours. He wasn't drawing good house shows. Wasn't drawing interest, period. Wouldn't have hurt for him to lose because then you could actually tell a story. Yeah, he overcame Brock. Then he lost to The Fiend. He lost again to another champion now. Maybe Seth has to retool some things. You have to do a lot of work to fix Seth Rollins right now because on top of everything I mentioned, the guy's promos are horrible. And again, not all him. It's when you're doing these scripted promos, to where the verbiage does not sound like a real person talking. It just is a total disconnect from everything. I don't understand how anybody can be invested in Seth Rollins right now, to be honest with you. And I hated that Imperium lost. I knew they were going to lose that tag match because they're quote-unquote just the NXT UK guys. But they're a united force. You're not going to tell me you're bringing up Undisputed Era and they're doing the job in 10 minutes to a thrown-together team, because they shouldn't. And Imperium really shouldn't, especially in the UK. And I think that's another reason that people really weren't that interested in NXT this week, because they got that big boost when NXT did the Raw and SmackDown run-ins, and then the OC appeared on NXT, and then people were really curious. And then all you did for SmackDown and Raw was the NXT UK guys, which that show gets no hype on the network, no hype on the website, and then you job them out.
Yeah, jobbing them out, I think, was definitely the problem. It made NXT UK look like a secondary brand to NXT because they did the jobs and the NXT guys generally went over the week before. Let's talk about another, I don't even know if controversial segment is the word to use for it, but it's a storyline that's going on with Lana Rusev and Lashley.
Let's just say horrible.
Oh, yeah, I guess we can all agree horrible is web numbers. Web traffic apparently has been good for this. It was just a real trash segment on Monday. Jimmy, is there a place for this in wrestling?
Well, yes, there is a place for it, but not when it's so overtly not real. And I know this comparison has been brought up many times because it's compared to the Edge Matt Hardy Lita situation, but again, that was playing off a real life situation, whereas fans today are a little different from the fans back then. They're a little more educated, for better or for worse, and they're just not buying into it now. The reason they're continuing with this thing is obviously, like you said, the web traffic and the numbers that the videos are getting on YouTube and whatever are incredible. So that's the only reason I can see that this is continuing as long as it is and seems to be going forward. Other than that, like I said on my social media, I refuse to reference it at all. Mm-hmm. I don't negative, positive, whatever. I'm just not going to talk about it. But this is different. This is Sunday night's main event, so I will. I'm just not digging it. For me, it's not doing anything for me, and I don't think it's helping them on TV. Now, web traffic, completely different story.
Hey, Larry, what's the end game here?
Besides a dumpster fire, it's probably going to be one of those horribly booked things to where they have a bunch of regular wrestling matches that don't mean anything. Rusev is going to continue to get less over. They're still not going to do anything with Lashley. And then at the end, it's probably going to be one of those things to where they agree Lana's a slut, and then they end up as a wacky tag team semi gets along.
Oh, Larry. Oh, boy.
Because that's WWE booking. It's horrible. And I think the worst thing out of all of this is, I guarantee you, Rusev must have had one of those magical meetings with Vince. Because if you've read his recent interviews, he's like, this is the hottest story going in the company. This is the best thing going for my career right now. He must have walked in and said, listen, Vince, this is probably a bad idea. I've read a lot of things about in the past that people that get into these stories have, like, bad things come out and their marriages end, and this could be problematic. And then Vince waved his hand and did his little Jedi mind trick, and Rusev walked out going, man, it's good stuff, pal. It's this horrendous TV. There is a place for wacky storylines and stuff in wrestling. There's a place for almost everything in wrestling. What there's not a place for in my wrestling is things that are bad. And this is just bad.
I'm just curious if we get a Lana on a pole match, or in this case, a Lana on two poles match. All righty. I wanted to get that joke in. But, Jimmy, I want to. This is going to be a weird question. No one's even paying attention to this, but Eric Rowan seems to have been given an animal. We don't know what it is as of yet, but you were someone that was in the company when Jake had Damian, you know, Frankie was belonging to Coco Beware, Matilda or Winston was with the Bulldogs. How does this work on the road for performers? Because I could only imagine Rowan getting this and going, are you serious? I got to carry this with me. But how does the animal thing work? Do they take it, or does the company take care of it?
It's actually up to the talent to take care of it, because I remember Jake used to travel with a snake.
Right.
Of course, when crossing the border, it's a different story. When they come to Canada, you know, here we go. Fourth wall, when we come to Canada, we had to rent a snake up here.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, there's so much paperwork and so much involved with trying to get an animal across the border. So there is a Canadian Damien, a Canadian Frankie, and a Canadian Matilda. I mean, well, the Matilda was different because the Bulldogs actually had that dog. So they traveled with it everywhere. Felt sorry for it a lot of times.
Yeah.
For another time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the guys traveled with their pets and took care of them and fed them. And, you know, here's Coco in his hotel room with a bird stand and, and bird feed. So it was up to the talent to take care of all those animals.
That's going to be awful for Eric Rowan. I can only imagine what it's going to be, like a rat or something like that. And it's going to be really garbage for him to be on the road. I feel bad for the guy.
Unless they changed it and said, hey, well, you know, we'll put it on the ring truck or whatever. I don't know, depending on what the animal is. But if it's something that you can actually domesticate, you'll probably have to take care of it itself.
Yeesh. Let's flip over to SmackDown. And looking at SmackDown, Larry, we saw the Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt match set up. Miz Strainley announcing it at the end of the show, which was really a really terrible way to end SmackDown this week. This is going to have a red light on it, and we're going to see this program again. And is there any possible way that even Daniel Bryan, who is great in the ring, can make Bray Wyatt connect with the audience?
Well, I mean, I think if there's anybody that can do it, it is Bryan, because I think if we're being really honest, I mean, Bray has been in some like good multi-man and tag matches, but in my recollection, he's had exactly one great singles match, and that was a few years ago at the Royal Rumble with Daniel Bryan. So if anybody can do it, Daniel Bryan, just think, the guy knows his role. He knows he's not winning. He knows he's not going to be the main event guy. His role is to go out there and try to have the best match possible and play to the strengths of his opponent. So I think if anybody in the company is equipped to actually have a match that may make me care about The Fiend, which kind of doubtful at this point because the last two matches with Rollins did pretty much everything to kill my interest because they were horribly overbooked and went way too long and the red light doesn't help anything. I think it's Bryan. I don't know if it'll be great. It may be good. I think the important thing, too, is that they need to keep it short. These Fiend matches going like 20 minutes do nobody any favor, especially when he's like kicking out of like 25 finishers, which is the funniest thing in the world because all of a sudden it's awesome. But if you kick out of two super kicks on like in a Young Bucks match, it's the end of the world.
Different opinions depending on who's in the ring, I guess. Jimmy, Bray Wyatt, obviously there's been a disconnect between his character and his in-ring work and people just being disinterested. Going into this, aside from getting rid of the red light, which I think we all agree on, what do you recommend to make this work and finally have him connect?
Yeah, that's going to be a tough call. I guess, like you guys are saying, Daniel Bryan is someone who can do that because you look back at the invasion a couple weeks ago with in his match with Adam Cole. Like, you and I and Larry know Adam Cole, but the average audience may not know who he is. And Daniel Bryan did a masterful job of getting him over. And if like you guys said, if anybody can get The Fiend to that next level where people are going to care about him, it is Daniel Bryan. He is that good. That being said, you brought something up with the red light. And, you know, when in that red light, which I agree with you guys, I'm not digging it. It's annoying and it just doesn't work for me. Maybe that is a way storyline wise to be able to get to The Fiend, excuse me, is by somehow getting the arena lights turned on, you know, to the normal lights, and that kind of affects The Fiend in some way. I don't know.
That's very, you know, very mystical.
Yeah, very mystical. Like in regular lighting, he's like pretty average, but in red light, he's invincible. I don't know. But like I said, if there's someone who can get The Fiend, the people that care about The Fiend more, it is Daniel Bryan. He is that good.
Oh, that, of course, is going to happen at Survivor Series. And along with that Survivor Series, as we mentioned earlier, it's got a bunch of triple threats and it's got three brands attached to it. Now, this has been an invasion angle with NXT. We already mentioned that NXT UK didn't look great in the invasion angle. But with all of these matches, which aren't for titles, they're just for bragging rights, one of the classic problems with invasion angles is how to keep the invading brand and the new brand strong. NXT is WWE. All of these brands are WWE. So what has to happen at Survivor Series in order for all of these brands to come out looking good? And that includes NXT, Larry. What do you think?
I mean, everybody has to win to some degree. And, I mean, not you can't do something like last year when, like, Raw won every match but the pre-show match, which the New Day will remind you of since they won.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you have to have – not only do the NXT competitors need to look competitive in the matches, they can't – in no way can they be, like, in the elimination matches specifically. They can't do one of those things to where they get blanked and then it's down the Raw and SmackDown. Because then you're telling everybody that the Wednesday night show is the inferior show. They have to be competitive. They have to pick up wins at some point. And I just, you know, you can serve all the masters. Because, again, as you said, we're not, this isn't WCW and ECW coming in. We're not jobbing out our past enemies. This is all of our kids. This is all of our, you know, this is everybody we have under contract. There's no reason to make anybody look bad here. The thing is the main roster people, you can sacrifice a little more because, again, you're trying to build up NXT on Wednesdays. You're trying to build up these people as the next wave of superstars. You're trying to get those ratings up. So you can't just, like, boat race these people and have them look horrible. So not only do they have to look competitive, they have to win a match or two. And I think if you do it right, you can spread it out to where everybody gets what they need to. Whether they can effectively book that or not is the question.
That's always been the question. And do you think there's hope here, Jimmy? I mean, the interesting thing about last year, or the frustrating thing about last year, Survivor Series happened, and it was like a one-off, and then everything went back to normal, or however normal WWE is. It's weird to watch this and know that the next day, none of this counts. There's no stakes to me in this pay-per-view.
Yeah, except for bragging rights, I guess, if you want to go, you know, if they're going to do that after the pay-per-view. That being said, you know, all good points here. I mean, there is the way to get people over without having them go over. But at the same time, like Larry said, the NXT brand, I don't think, can be shut out in this, go over in this in any of these matches. They have to at least win at least one.
Right. You know, I think more.
Maybe even more. I mean, they have, like you said, they have to be able to. And Daniel Bryan proved it the other week again in a loss to Adam Cole. Still, that did nothing to hurt Daniel Bryan. And there's several guys on the main roster. I'm doing air quotes here. You can't see them. Main roster that can suffer a loss to NXT brand and it still will not affect them. So it can be done. It's just a matter of, especially in bringing up the other guys on Wednesday nights, when you're competing now with another brand, you want these guys to look as good as possible so that you can keep that fight up.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to end it there for this week. Thank you both for coming back on. It has been a while. Hope to do this again soon. Because you're not here as often anymore, where can people find you doing your own thing in the world of wrestling? Larry?
At Larry Zonka 411 on Twitter, 411mania.com, and the 411 Wrestling Podcast, which is on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, and of course, the 411mania.com website.
Of course. And Jimmy, listen, people know they can find you on Aftermath, and it's been a busy week for you as far as you got a little coverage earlier this week. Where can people find that? For better or for worse, I guess.
Yeah, you could. I do a daily weekdays. I do a little thing called the Ref and Rant. It's only a minute long, and whatever topic pops into my head, I just rant about. And you can find that on my Twitter at Jimmy Corderas or on my Instagram at Real Jimmy Corderas, because apparently someone else took Jimmy Corderas.
That's the fake Jimmy Corderas.
Yeah, it's fake news, you know.
All right, guys, thanks very much for joining me today, and let's do it again soon.
No problem.
Jimmy Corderas, Larry Zonka there. Always good opinions from those two gentlemen. Follow along in the social media of your choice that they gave you there. We're going to take a break. When we come on back, the second hour is still to come. And in that second hour, it's Dave Meltzer time to kick things off. We'll get the rundown on some of the news, an expansion on it with Dave about CM Punk and Jordan Miles, which really haven't touched on all that much. And along with that, people want releases, and hopefully Dave knows a little bit more about them, including Sin Cara and, yes, indeed, Oney Lorcan as well. We'll talk to Dave about that. Then, of course, Turnbuckle Trivia, the six-pack challenge, all of that still to come in hour two of Sunday night's main event right here on TSN Radio.
Hello, this is RJ City, and I have a promo for Andrew Fung. Andrew, I heard you call me a pre-show guy, and you know what? That's fine, because only a sociopath wants to be in the main event, and that's exactly what you are. Look at you clinging desperately to that Two Strikes Championship, doing all your media and press saying, look at me, I'm on Kim's Convenience. Well, let me tell you something, pal. Canadian entertainment has a very short shelf life, and your expiry date is coming up. 3 months from now, you're going to be at a Comic-Con sitting next to Virgil asking him how much he's selling his 8x10s for. So to remedy this situation, I have compiled a team known as Citizens United with some of the finest athletes in the world of comedy. And young man, I'm going to tell you this. We're going to beat you so badly that not even APA will recognize you. Good luck.
Kick off your Survivor Series weekend with the best wrestling show that doesn't involve wrestling. It's Survivor Strikes this Friday night, 11 p.m. at Comedy Bar in Toronto. Get your tickets now at SundayNightsMainEvent.com. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just a dollar a week. You get the full 2 hour show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just a dollar a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.